Welcome to the You're Worth Knowing podcast. I'm your host, Roxana Alexandru from Honest Rocks, and I am obsessed with social anxiety. After a decade of trying to figure out how to manage it on my own, I'm on a mission now to share every little insight I've gained along the way. Every week, we'll get just a little bit closer to unraveling the mystery of it so you can live the best version of yourself, because you are worth knowing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to You Are Worth Knowing, a podcast on social anxiety. And today we're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic, money. But we're going to talk about the different ways social anxiety costs you money, and you might not even be aware of it. So I initially did this as a short form video, and I'm now expanding it into a big episode. And we're going to really highlight four ways that social anxiety is costing all of us money, those of us that experience social anxiety, because that is why I am here, to bring this amazing awareness into your life so you just feel even worse about your social anxiety. I'm kidding, of course. I've been a victim of this, so I really want to bring awareness so that we are all on the same page and that we know what we are dealing with. Because awareness is the first step in making adjustments and approaching the struggle from another angle, which is what I really hope to shine a light on today. So this is a very important episode. It's a really crucial part of understanding how social anxiety impacts your daily life. Sure, you might be more aware of it in social situations when you're talking to people, to strangers, applying to jobs. Yes, those are the big moments. But there's subtle ways that social anxiety is also impacting you. So I wanted to talk about that because we can fix it. We can fix it together. All right. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the four ways that social anxiety costs you money. Although, to be fair, I'm sure there are more than four ways, and they will probably come to light. And I might do parts two on this. And if after you watch or listen to this episode and something pops up in your head, please let me know. I would love to hear of all the other types of ways that social anxiety is impacting you and costing you money. But we want to make sure that we don't fall for its trap anymore and that we, you know, keep the dinero to yourself. Very important that we do that. Obviously, we want to make sure that we don't have any leaks and that if we do find them, that we close them. So as a disclaimer, there's the other side of the coin where spending money on social anxiety and on helping you deal with your social anxiety is a just cause. So I don't want to take away from that because social anxiety, obviously, costs money in terms of seeking therapy, medication, coaching. Your money is well spent in those areas, right? So those are areas that you voluntarily hand out money because you do want to improve your well-being. This episode is not about that. That's for another time. Right now, we're just going to talk about the ways that you are just dropping coins on the floor because your social anxiety is not letting you perform some of these activities. Okay? So now, the first one, which is a low-hanging fruit, and I think you might know what I'm talking about, it's returns, right? So the reluctance to go return an item because, you know, you feel uncomfortable going back to a store to return an item that the sales clerk spent quite a lot of time trying to sell to you. So I'm sure you've experienced this. You're at a store. You try on a million different shoes in never the right sizes, and then instead of handing over those million boxes saying thank you and walking out of the store, you end up buying the shoes. But obviously in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm just going to eventually return them. Not a problem. I just don't want to do that right now. I feel bad. This guy, girl spent way too much time trying to help me out. I'm just going to buy these shoes. But then you never return them because of social anxiety. What if the sales clerk, the same one, is behind the counter when you go back to do the return. And they, of course, remember your nonsense. The horror, right? So returning is a beast for many people that have social anxiety. And this is really one of the biggest and the main way that social anxiety costs you money. Now, here's how you can avoid getting stuck with a product you don't want, right? So the first thing to do and the best course of action is to actually prevent this from happening. Don't leave the store with a product you don't want. You don't have to lie. Just say, you've given me a lot to think about, and I'm just going to take some time before I make a decision. Or you can be honest and say, I'm sorry, but none of these fit me as much as I would love them to. Thank you so much for your guidance and support. So you can say those things, and then you don't have to buy the product and then deal with the anxiety that comes with returning it. The other way to get more comfortable returning an item that you don't want or you haven't used, of course, is to practice doing that. This is part of exposure therapy. So there are many ways you can do this. The best way to get acclimated and be more comfortable is to bring someone with you. You know, just bring a friend, your partner, and have them along to return the item. Start with baby steps. You can also go when there's no one in the store. So that makes it a little bit more comfortable for you because there's not a long line. There's not people behind you waiting to purchase. You can also try to return it via mail, although, you know, that will also cost you money. If you like the store, right? So if you're a big fan of the store and you support them, you can potentially ask them for credit so you can spend that money at their store, but for something else. So that way you don't feel bad for returning an item and, you know, showing that you're not supporting them. So these are a few ways that you can get comfortable with returning items and making sure that you don't lose money in the process, okay? Now, the second way that social anxiety costs you money is the inability to negotiate fees or prices on products or services that you know you are being overcharged on. This one also hits close to home. Even worse is accepting an added fee or an upsell because you're too timid to refuse the person. Right. So this is where those sales skills come into play. And people that know how to sell always get me because I just cannot say no. I'm just not able to refuse someone. And so it ends up costing me money, unfortunately, because what are they going to think if you decline personal insurance on your child who could technically wreak havoc in someone's home? You know, if you decline it, for example, they're going to think you're naive about life or a rich person who doesn't care about replacing TV after TV after TV. And I base this on a true story because here in the Netherlands, when I went to open my bank account, they actually asked me if I wanted to add personal insurance for my kid, right? Because here, apparently, everyone has personal insurance. So if my child throws a stick in someone's home and breaks their TV, I am insured for that. So I declined it. Not sure that was the best decision, but that was one way where I felt like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think if I decline it? But, you know, it can be anything else, right? You can probably relate to adding insurance on your TV, your couch, your carpet, anything to avoid having that judgmental stare from the store employee, even though, honestly, they probably couldn't care less because they're on auto mode going through their checklist, right? When you're checking out, they just want to check on their paper that you approved or declined the extra insurance. Because honestly, they're probably thinking about what they want to have for lunch while you're thinking that they're thinking you're an idiot for not insuring your toilet. So, yeah. Also, in the same context, a mistake may have been made on your receipt, on your invoice, whatever purchase you made. Maybe you were charged more or you were charged an overdraft fee, which happens plenty of times because that's how banks, you know, make their money because they do charge those hefty fees for overdrafts. You know, and you can always call to have them overturned, but you won't because you justify it that it's your fault and you don't want anyone to point that out to you. So you just miss out on getting that money back. My husband, the extrovert, will call for every little thing. He will negotiate fees, have them removed, and somehow turn mistakes into rewards. It's such an art. I have not figured out how he does it, but I'm glad I have him in my corner to teach me the ways. I am learning slowly to call banks and have some fees removed, but that is definitely something that in the past has cost me a lot of money. Now, here's what you can do to avoid getting into this situation or figuring out a way to be comfortable to negotiate or to refuse these fees or prices or whatnot. Marry someone who loves handling these situations. Okay, that's a joke, of course, but see it this way. It's your money, yours. Why are you giving it away for free? Now, if you believe in it, if you believe in the insurance, if you believe that you should pay that fee or whatnot, fine. But if you don't agree to it, then this is for you because you worked for that money. So you know what you want to spend it on.
And when your inner radar goes off and it tells you, no, don't add insurance, just take a breath and say, thanks, but I'll pass today or I'll think about it. That will really save you in the long run. Now, the third way that social anxiety costs you money, and this is a more inconspicuous way, it's avoiding calling to cancel a subscription, a membership, or an appointment. And again, this one, I think, gets the best of us. So this one bites us in the butt, because especially in the long run, and I know this all too well because this is the one that I fall prey to the most. So here's a little story for you and why I got this idea for this episode. It prompted me because I was so upset that I couldn't get myself to save this money that was owed to me because of my social anxiety. So a few months ago, I decided to go see a physical therapist because I had severe back pain and I needed to see if there was something they could do to help me, because at that point, I had tried everything and everything had failed. So I made the appointment and I showed up for the first session. Now, nothing happened in that first session, unfortunately, other than being asked some questions about my back pain and my overall health. She told me that this was just the intake session and that we would get started the next time around. So I wasn't able to really judge the quality of the therapy at this point, but you know, I accepted it. This is just part of the process. That's fine. So they charged me $80 for that. And I was like, I was quite upset, but she told me that this is the initial setup and the next appointment, the second time around, it would be much less. So I said, okay, let's schedule the second appointment and see what happens. A week later, I come back. This is my second appointment. And that's when I realized that the quality was really bad. I've done a lot of physical therapy in my life. Being a tennis player, I was probably in the therapist's office almost every month for like 8 years, from, you know, broken cartilages, ankle sprains. I had cysts in my hands. I mean, I've been through a whole, you know, nonsense with my body. So I know what physical therapy does and the different tools that are available for it. And this office, it was just pretty bad. In my mind, I was like, okay, I'm just going to Google this and do all of this at home. She's not really giving me any new information. I might as well just save my money. I felt like I wasn't going to get anything out of this. And of course, I'm not going to say that to her face, right? I'm not going to say, hey, listen, this sucks. I'm just not going to pay you. So anyway, at the end of the second session, she wanted to make another appointment for the following week. So she asked me, what would be a good date for you to come? Now, being the people pleaser that I am, you know, on top of having social anxiety, I said, I'll be available in 2 weeks. In the back of my mind, though, I'm like, I'm just going to cancel this the moment I get home. Like, I'm just going to schedule it. And then today or tomorrow, I'm going to call the office and cancel this. I'm done. And then came the fun part, right? Because if you're an introvert like me, or you have social anxiety, picking up the phone is horrible. It's anxiety inducing. Phone anxiety is a real thing, and we will definitely discuss that in future episodes. But it's not fun. You put it off, or you ask someone else to deal with it, right? Or you do it until the last minute, which, you know, sometimes in itself, that will cost you a late cancellation fee. In the Netherlands, if you don't call to cancel or to reschedule within 24 hours, you are charged the whole fee. You really have to pay attention to that. So I knew, being in the office when I was scheduling the appointment, I knew I was going to run into this phone anxiety. Yet my present self decided that my future self would have to deal with that struggle instead of simply just telling her that I didn't want to schedule another session. Because, you know, obviously in my head, that would have been rude, right? Would it have been rude, or would that have been the right thing to do? That's up for debate. But I really struggled with calling and canceling this third appointment. I eventually did. Now, the interesting part about the situation was that I tried to justify going to a third appointment. I was trying to sell it to myself, even though I knew I wouldn't get anything out of it. I just wanted to trick my brain into thinking something magical would happen this third time around, that somehow I'll have this amazing insight and my back will be fixed and everything will be great. Anything to justify, just so I wouldn't have to call and cancel this appointment. Let me know if you can relate to this situation when you're talking yourself into something that you know you shouldn't be talking yourself into. So at this point, I realized I had only two options, either cancel the appointment or waste my time and money to go to it. So again, social anxiety would have cost me money because I was trying to get out of having to make that phone call and instead spend money on a third, fourth, fifth, and eternity sessions, right? But do you know what the best part of this whole situation is? I still ended up losing money. While I did end up calling to cancel, you know, without reason, I received a letter from my health insurance company telling me they needed the invoice to process the reimbursement because I accidentally sent them the receipt, which is what I got from the office, not the invoice, which meant I had to call again to have the therapist's office send me an invoice, or I had to make my way, you know, in person to get the invoice. And making my way to the office would have meant running into my therapist and having her ask me, "Hey, what happened? Why did you cancel your third appointment?" Well, you know, at least in my head, that's what I imagined she would have said, even though probably in reality, she would have just ignored me or pretended she didn't recognize me or something. But at this point, you know, I was in limbo because the health insurance wouldn't reimburse me without the official invoice. So I was out of this money. Did I want to risk running into the therapist so that I could potentially be reimbursed? That's when I realized that social anxiety was costing me money and how it could be costing you money. Now, if you are running into a similar situation, here's how you can avoid ongoing subscriptions, memberships, or appointments that you don't want to have, right? So the first thing that I would advise is take ownership of the scheduling, especially when it's an appointment, and take it upon yourself. Don't let someone else control your time or decide what you need. Only you can do that, and it will save you a lot of headaches in the long run. It's better to call to make an appointment than to call and cancel with the chance that they will ask you when you want to reschedule, or worse, ask you why you're canceling. Or worse, charge you a fee for canceling, which also has happened to me. So schedule your appointment, let them know that you will be doing that. Don't have someone else on the spot ask you when to schedule. It would have saved me a lot of headaches. Now for subscriptions and memberships, most of the time, obviously you can cancel online, which is great, but some companies ask you to call, right? That's what we call dark user interface. Yeah, ways that they play around just to make sure that people keep paying them, unfortunately. Because we know most people are not going to call to cancel, and they know that. It's not cool what they do, but some companies still do this. So if you do have to call, script it out. Don't allow them to change your mind. Write out what you want to say and just be firm with your decision, okay? Just have the piece of paper in front of you and just, that's what you're sticking to. That's your story. And, you know, for this, you can always have a handy excuse to give, or, you know, you can even be honest about why you're canceling, because most companies would appreciate the feedback. And you can see it as doing them a service instead of feeling like you're bothering them or you're being a horrible customer, right? Just see it as you're doing them a service on how they can improve their product. Now, lastly, and the most impactful way that social anxiety costs you money is by making it hard for you to ask for a raise, a promotion, or to change jobs, companies. So This particular way, this one needs its own episode because there's so much to unpack when it comes to social anxiety at work and how it prevents us from reaching our potential. But, you know, let's touch on this a little bit, okay? It's a lot to talk about, but I'll just quickly touch upon it and summarize a few things. Now, you can see clearly how not asking for a raise or promotion is costing you money, right? Of course, there are other factors involved in this scenario, but if you have the skills-driven social anxiety type, then you have a hard time in this area and you will leave a lot of money on the table. Now, when I say the skills-driven social anxiety type, if you don't really know what that means, go back to episode number one. It's about the four types of social anxiety, and one of them is skills-driven. So if you have that, you will have a harder time with asking for a raise or a promotion. And that's definitely something that we need to work on. But just as an overview, this is how you can minimize your loss here in this area. So if you are resentful about your position or your salary, take that as a signal that you are leaving money on the table. If you feel like you're working a lot and you're not being compensated fairly, but you're too scared to ask for more, take it as a sign that you need to find a strategy to do so, and fast. Because the longer you wait to manage your social anxiety, the more money you leave on the table. If you're running into this, we can work together to take your next steps forward. I have a few coaching options available, social anxiety-friendly ones, of course, to help you tackle this area. And I'm going to put a link to my coaching services in this episode's notes as well, because I know very well the impact that this can have on your career. I've lived through it. You may not realize this, but fear of social interactions can cost you bigly. And as we've seen with these four ways, you might not be able to ask for returns on a product, you know, that you bought online, or call a company to fix fees that have been incorrectly charged to your account. Or maybe you're afraid to ask for a raise at work because you don't want to come across as needy or aggressive. It's as if social anxiety is sneaking around, making holes in our pockets, and we become aware of it too late. And even if we are aware of it, we feel powerless to face it. I understand how difficult it is in the moment to deal with it and to speak up, but it's important that you remember that it can really get out of control fast, and it will cost you more in the long term if you don't figure out a way to close these leaks, you know, to put a plug in them. The way that I see it is that it's more important for you to be willing to be awkward and to deal with these situations, such as going back to the therapist's office and ask for an invoice, or, you know, canceling the appointment on the phone from the beginning, because the longer you let this go on, the more cringe it's going to be and the more money it's going to cost you. So I hope that you are going to bring a little bit more awareness into your life when it comes to the ways that social anxiety is costing you money, and that you find a way to reframe your mindset around them and use the advice that I've given you in this episode to start taking steps to plugging those leaks, right? So these are my tips. And again, these are the things that I do in my life now when I become aware that I am not doing something and it is costing me money, right? Money that I could spend on candles and journals and pens and I don't know what else that I like, but that doesn't involve paying a bank or a cancellation fee, because yeah, that's not fun. I would love to hear if social anxiety is also costing you money, and in what way, how much money it's cost you. Gosh, it's been hundreds of dollars for me for sure. And I might have a part two, but for now, we're going to leave it at these four ways. You can always find me on honestrocks.com or my Instagram at honestrocks. I would love to hear your opinion on what you think about this and any other feedback that you have. And then I will see you here next week with another episode on You Are Worth Knowing, the podcast. See you then.